Jupiter is still easy to see, and no longer just a light in the sky. Modern spacecraft have seen Jupiter up close as the picture of order and chaos. Jupiter has very structured bands of clouds on which you see whirlpools of all sizes. These planet-wide whirlpools can consume and then let go of each other, or dance around each other, or destroy each other in an endless natural spectacle seen by no one until we saw it through the robot eyes of our spacecraft. With your own eyes, you'll see a very different Jupiter, but one that retains its air of majesty and awe. Jupiter is now located in the east before dawn, on a graceful line with two other planets, Saturn and Mars. You'll be able to tell the king of planets because it's the brightest thing in that part of the sky, with the exception on Sunday and Monday of the moon. The moon has been moving through this region of the sky for the past several days. It's been near Mars and Saturn. Now it's Jupiter's turn, both Sunday and Monday morning. The moon and Jupiter will be a striking sight in the next few days until the moon moves on and leaves Jupiter behind. For January the 16th, that's our program. Stardate is written each day by Deborah Bird, engineered this month by Tim Stanton, and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip is 78712. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Certainly is.
I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley.
And you're tuned to the voice of
Long Island.
Yes, the voice of Long Island, where we come your way this time every
Friday night
or Saturday morning.
What have you?
Yes, what have us? What do we have?
What do we have? What do we have? What's going on here?
Beats me.
We have snow. That's what we have. Lots of it.
Well, yeah, lots of snow on the ground.
Wasn't that great? Two snowstorms in a row?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, well, you've been aching for snow all year.
What a nifty idea.
That was
two in a row, 2 days in a row.
Hey, it's supposed to snow today, too, isn't it? Let's see.
Well, light snow, they
That's
say.
The USB Long Island.
Snow flurries.
Mostly clear tonight, then clouding up by morning with a chance of some light snow tomorrow.
Ooh.
Lows tomorrow. Tonight in the teens. Highs tomorrow in the 20s, dropping into the teens by evening. Clearing, windy, and bitterly cold tomorrow night. A low about 5 above.
Wow.
A chance of precipitation, 50% tomorrow. So, speaking about cold, let's see, last Thursday, Sunday, remember when we went up to Connecticut?
Yes, I certainly do. It was cold then.
Yeah, we brought a couple of people with us. We went up to see my friend Tom Wheeler up at WPKN in Bridgeport. Oh, I guess we should mention that this is, to avert any confusion, this is WUSB
in Stony Brook, not WPKN in Bridgeport.
As some have claimed it to be.
Although we messed them up last Sunday because we went on the air there and we kept talking about WUSB.
That's true.
And so we were on WPKN.
That's true. We were. We should have brought that little theme song with us.
And so people just get totally fed up and turn to WSHU or something.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I guess we should mention the things we did while we were up there, huh?
Well, you drove. You drove your nice new car, which is a very nice car.
Yeah.
I like it.
No radio, though. I'm surprised at you.
You couldn't listen to either USB or PKN or anything else.
Well, we could listen to the people in the back seat snoring.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually...
read the Sunday papers. Do you want to tell the story about the Sunday papers?
That's a great little story. Well, okay, I picked you up first. And
that's
we picked
right.
up two other people along the way. And you said, Mike, we got to stop off and pick up a Sunday Times. Right?
Right. Okay. The reasonable request. I said it at the very beginning of the trip. Because I figured there'd be problems.
That's true. I didn't figure there'd be problems. I mean, just because they don't sell it in your neighborhood doesn't mean they're not going to sell it anywhere else. Well, the trouble we went through. Let's see, we got off of the expressway at a place...
Plainview it was.
Okay.
They're looking at that beautiful water tower.
That's true. That is a very, very nice water tower.
I like it. But it's not as nice as the Freeport water tower.
I don't think I've ever seen
the Freeport. Oh, it's blue and it's white and it's got a little picture painted on it. And they went to a lot of trouble to do that.
What is it, a sunrise picture on it or something?
No, it's not a sunrise. It looks
sunset.
It looks like a water scene.
Uh-huh.
From what I haven't seen it since my limo driving days in the summer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I used to go by there quite often, but it was a sight to look at, and I almost backed the car into a few trees looking at it.
Well, in any event, we got off to look for times, but we went into you went into two hotel motel lobbies
at your suggestion. Yes,
right. And they had
to go to hotels to get papers.
They had every paper there except the Times.
They had the Post. They had the News. They had Newsday. They had the Philadelphia Bulletin. Well, they didn't have that, but
they had the Inquirer, not the Bulletin.
Yeah,
because nearly everybody reads the Bulletin.
That's true.
Motto. Did you know that? Okay, so then. We went to a gas station that sells coffee and snacks, and generally you'd expect them to sell papers, but oh no.
The funny thing is, not only did they not sell it, but when you asked them, hey, do you carry the New York Times, they just sort of looked at you and said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and then I said, well, do you know of a place I could get it? They said, no, not around here, no.
Okay, so then we're traveling along. We figured, well, for sure, there's got to be
upper class Nassau County.
That's true.
You
figure for sure there's got to be a place that sells the Times on a Sunday in Hicksville on Route 106 or 107. But oh no!
A single place, and that's a busy intersection. The whole thing is an intersection.
Try the train station. Okay, we went to the train station. There was a machine there that was empty.
Yeah, machines never sell Sunday papers.
They do. You have to pay more for them, though.
I've never seen one sell a Sunday paper yet.
Really? Gosh.
They do.
Yeah,
but they don't.
I don't know if I've ever seen them do it either. In any event, we went all up and down Route 106 and 107 looking for a place. Went into a diner. A deli that wasn't even open yet. They didn't even have them. We went to one place. A couple other places were just opening up. Nope, nobody had them. So why don't you tell them where we finally got it?
Well, we finally got it in a little village called Newcastle.
Yeah.
Is that the right name for it, Newcastle?
Yes, it is.
It's not exactly an upper class neighborhood, but it's
I wouldn't really call it Nirvana either.
No, I like it. I thought it was a lot more homey than all those nouveau riche areas
like Hicksville.
Yeah,
Massapequa.
It was down to earth, and the people were friendly. And of course, they had a whole stack of Times, except they were all spread out, and you had to pick your own sections. But that was okay.
That's good, too, because you're assured that you're not missing any
questions. Right, I checked them anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
So our quest for the Times ended in Newcastle, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank the people of Newcastle for having the Times.
Yeah.
Enough advertising for the Times.
So we completed our little jaunt up to TKN, and one of the things that I was impressed with was the color of the sand that they use on the roads up there.
You kept commenting on that at least 15 or 20 times, so why don't you tell us about
it? It's like a reddish color. It's like a reddish-orange as opposed to a lighter, kind of beige sand that we use here.
It's definitely, it struck you. I mean, it's like clay or something.
Yeah, I was thinking, because how you get this buildup of... sand and snow and ice right behind your tires.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, going across state lines, you'll get an accumulation, it'll start accumulating in different colors. What you should do is take your, when you get home or wherever, knock that block of slush off or whatever it is, stick it in the freezer so it gets really hard, then thaw it down the middle and count the rings to determine how many states you've gone through.
And you really think that you're going to get a different kind of sand for every town, every county you pass through?
They definitely use a different type of sand on I-95. And
okay.
They use the same type of sand in Westport.
Is there a different kind of a sand in Nassau than there is in Suffolk?
That I don't know.
Or
there could be.
In Smithtown than in Brookhaven?
Sometimes they don't even sand in Brookhaven when they do in Smithtown.
Now, Sherlock Holmes, if you ever read those stories, is able to tell the difference between, you know, pieces of mud from one part of London from another. He's always saying, well, of course, you know, he came from Baker Street because that's, you know, where the color of the mud. And he can also tell just by looking at tobacco, what kind of tobacco it is and where it's from, where the person has been, how old he is, anything.
He could even determine where a person was heading just by following his footsteps.
That's true, too.
That's right.
Really amazing.
Yes.
I think so. What were you... you said something about... what's it going to be doing tonight? Is it going to cloud up a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to get cloudy by morning with chances of some light snow.
I'm just going to check the window.
Oh.
To see what it's like, okay? I'll be back in a second.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. I guess he was... Ah, here he comes.
Mike!
Yeah?
Wow, it looks really promising out there.
It does.
I think so.
Promising for what?
For maybe some more adverse weather. It could be, you know. Maybe we'll get another 5 inches of snow or something.
You love the promise of adverse weather. Wouldn't
I
it
do.
Be great if the governor of New York, the next governor, whoever it may be, since Kerry's not going to be running again, was running and promising adverse weather?
That would be something.
That would be something.
I never can understand why they always... When it snows or rains or something nasty, supposedly nasty, they always blame the weatherman. I mean, it's a good-natured, you know, joke on the newscast, but sometimes it really seems as if they're blaming him.
Yeah,
hey, you know, you said it wasn't going to do this, and it did. It's your fault.
Yeah, Mr. G, they keep harping on the guys.
Yeah, know? That's not fair.
Well, what do you expect with a weatherman named Storm?
Yeah, what can you expect?
What can you expect?
What do you think of the winter time of year? What does snow mean?
Wait a minute. Before we get into snow and stuff, we're still not done with the PKN trip.
Oh, okay.
We went past Stony Brook Road.
That's right.
In fact, we even drove on it.
But Stony Brook Road, not this Stony Brook Road in Stony Brook.
But Stony Brook Road in the other Stony Brook part of Westport.
That's right. One we talked about on this program. And
that was the strangest thing because...
We just passed by it.
Because we were driving from the station, from the radio station up there to this guy Tom Wheeler's house. And we're driving around on all these back roads and he decides that he wants to turn, but he looks and sees there's too much snow on the road, so he doesn't and he goes straight. And we're going down the road a little bit, and I say, my God, it's Stony Brook Road!
Well, that's not exactly what you said, but yeah, it's close enough.
Well, yeah, close enough for air.
But yeah, it was an amazing coincidence that we just happened to look up at that moment and see Stony Brook Road.
Well, I always look at names of streets anyway.
But that's true.
But if we hadn't made that wrong turn, we wouldn't have seen Stony Brook Road, and we wouldn't have never known.
So
after we were done over at Tom's, we drove back down on it.
Yeah.
And it's really weird, the mailboxes up there on the sides of the road. Instead of being facing the street where the mailman can just, like, roll his window down and stick the mail in the box. Oh, no, they have to be parallel with the street, not perpendicular. Now, that I don't understand.
Well, they're not all like that. Only some of them were, and it was only on that particular road, I think.
There were a couple of roads that they were like that.
Well, I don't understand it. Now, if anyone up in Connecticut is listening now, maybe they can explain it to us, especially if you have a house like that. Now, if your mailbox... is parallel to the curb. Why? I don't understand it. I mean, I saw... We passed by one set of mailboxes. There were two of them that were facing each other so that there was no possible way to even open it. What is
funny.
The point?
Maybe they were malicious vandals. And, you know, another...
Maybe they were silly vandals.
That's true.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Another interesting thing was on that Stony Brook Road that actually did have a Stony Brook on one side.
Which is more than I can say for our Stony Brook Road.
That's true. And then on the other side, there was this, like, big lake.
Uh-huh.
And, it was funny because we were looking at the lake, and all of a sudden, right along the side of the road, there's a mailbox, like, right in front of the lake.
In front of the lake.
It's because, why was it? It was because there was a house across the street,
well,
and they had the mailboxes only on one side of the street.
Yeah, up there, they only have mailboxes on one side of the street. I guess their mailmen aren't as nice as they are down here. Who knows?
That could be.
But it looked pretty funny because we didn't realize that when we saw the mailbox right there in front of the lake.
Yeah, because we were just looking at the lake and in all of its frozen splendor.
The mailbox.
And on the way back, oh, there's a house on the other side of the road. No wonder it's there.
Shucks.
Shucks. Golly.
You know, there are a lot of strange things you notice when you're in a different state. Just habits, funny names.
Speaking about funny names, after we were done with all this, we stopped in at a department store. And I was waiting on line for such a long time. And I'm dragging you around and Lois and Marianne. And we're just dragging them. And we're waiting on the line for quite a while. We're in this department store, and we're just, like, waiting, and then all of a sudden I see a microphone on the other side of the store, you know, at the customer service desk. And I said, why don't you go Paige Howard tripod?
Yeah. Do you think we should have admitted that on the air?
Sure, why not? I don't think anybody who was there actually heard Howard Tripod meet your party at the information desk. Let's go into Grand Central and do that one time. Good old airport cruise around. Howard Tripod, meet your party at the information desk.
Let's start a new fad.
You know, there's plenty of things we can talk about.
No, but you're mentioning things about funny names now. Those funny street signs, I think that's a real riot. Now, apparently in Connecticut, there's some sort of a drive.
I'll be right with you. I just want to quickly answer this phone.
Okay. There's apparently a drive to save the little green things that make up street signs. So what they do is they eliminate any excess space either before or after the name. Now, we saw this one street, I think it was Ellen Street or something. Now, there was not an inch, not a centimeter on either side of the Ellen or the street. And it was the shortest, most ridiculous-looking sign that we ever saw. It was kind of cute, though, because they were obviously trying to keep the space, you know, down. Always conserve as much as they can. And I don't know how much longer I can battle on about this street because Mike's on the telephone. Mike, are you there? Hello, Mike. Mike, come in, Mike. Mike, I'm going out the door.
Eric, I'm having a very interesting conversation about why the mailboxes are facing in the other direction from somebody calling from Connecticut. I'll be right with you.
Why don't you put them on?
I'm not sure.
Oh, this is a fine thing to do. What can I babble on about? Okay, well, I don't even have a clock in here. I have a timer. The timer says 44:59. That doesn't mean anything. Well, would you folks like to hear some sound effects? Okay.
Eric,
seal honking?
Two
seals honking?
Our listener on the other end of the phone has consented to go on the air.
No, I got some seals here. Sorry.
Okay, let's hear the seals honking.
Here come the seals.
That reminds me of another thing while we were up there.
What's that right now? Stop it, Seals. Sorry.
The kid's thing that you pulled a string on. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. On the phone, hello, on the phone we have somebody from Connecticut. Now, can you tell us why they turn the mailboxes differently?
Right. Well, the reason they do that is because when people are driving down the road, it's snow plows and everything. We get a lot of snow up here in Connecticut. You know about that, right?
Right.
All right. Well, the reason is that when people are driving down the road and vandals and everything, so that when they get into the mailboxes, they don't knock them over, see, because they're not hanging out over the road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
See, that's an interesting point.
You know, I thought about that.
Eric, she can't hear you unless she's listening to the radio right now. But, because you're in the other room. While I have you on the line here, do you have different colors of sand on the roads up there?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
It's
just like a veritable mosaic as you're driving down I-95 or something.
Yeah, well, the idea is that we keep it interesting.
Yeah, that's really great.
It's just
it really is.
I have a friend who dyes the sand. That's what he does for a living.
Ask her about the street signs. She notices the shortening of them.
Oh, and another thing we noticed was when we were driving down this one street, it seems that you folks are up in Connecticut are very cost conscious, and that you'll actually, instead of making a standard size street sign for a street, just a regular street sign, it seems that you cut it off right at the very beginning of the word and right at the end of the Ave or street. And so, like, if you have, like, First Street, it just, like, has one st, and it's very, very, a very small sign that you can, like, miss. But did you ever notice that up there, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, I mean, why waste money?
Yeah, why waste money on that sign material?
Down for the war effort, you know.
Yeah, right. The war effort, yes.
Hey, that's right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, I thank you very much for your call, and you're calling from New Milford.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Wow.
That's New Milford, Connecticut.
Where is New Milford?
That's up quite a ways, in fact. And, you know, she said she either listens only to us or our PKM.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. Two good stations. Now, if we do say so ourselves.
Where though, in relation to, say, Westport and Bridgeport, is New Milford?
I believe it's up further.
A lot further?
I don't know exactly. I do know that it is up further, though.
Oh. Well, that's good to hear. Maybe we can have another contest tonight. See who can call us from the furthest distance. I mean, the long-distance rates have gone down, haven't they?
They certainly have.
And they may go down even further.
Oh, that's true, too, with AT&T and all that sort of thing.
I think that's interesting.
That's something really worth talking about, but not now.
No, but it is interesting now that the two biggest antitrust cases in history were settled on the same day, don't
mm-hmm.
you think?
Well, yes.
Is that a coincidence? Well,
what was his name? Baxter? Was he the assistant attorney general or something?
Yes, I believe that is the name.
That came up with the settlement? Or
it was a good day for him.
It certainly was. He
got up the next morning, shot around the golf, and he was really hot.
How much under par was he? That didn't come over the wire, did it?
No, he
was skiing up in Colorado, I believe I read, for about a week or so while the settlement was just being worked out.
You know, speaking of skiing, I haven't gone skiing for a couple of years, and I just wanted to...
water or downhill?
I've never gone water skiing.
Either have I.
Downhill skiing, I went a couple of times. But I can't go now because I believe Bald Hill Ski Bowl is closed. Isn't that right?
No.
I think so.
Really?
It was closed last year, and, you know, it's really a shame because now I have to go all the way to Colorado or, you know, like New York State or something if I want to go skiing. And I can't afford that. It's too much money. Or what am I going to do? Go to a sump or something and ski down that? Or down a big hill?
That's true, too. I never thought of it that way.
You know, you can get hurt that way. It's not fair. I think we should have a skiing center on Long Island. And if it doesn't snow, we can do something else with it. You know, have people roll down hills. You know, use your imagination.
I'll use it for the site of Long Island Traditional Music Association concerts.
That's a good idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in any event, let's...
We've babbled away, haven't we?
We sure have. We've got the tripods coming up. They're not even finished yet this week.
They're still in the construction.
We've got a Bunky and Spunky. It's been a while since we've heard from them, since past, like, last year or something.
They've been on tour.
They have. And we didn't even get any free promotional tickets.
Well, there's sightseeing in Chicago and all sorts of places.
Well, maybe they'll tell us all about that. Our telephone number here is area code 5.
1-6-2-4-6-7-9-0-1.
And we're here.
Write that down. Maybe we should repeat it one more time.
5-1-6-2-2-4.
Wait. Then.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you start?
5-1-6.
Then
2-4-6.
Then
7-9-0-1. Good.
Yeah, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. If you're on the receiving end, though, it could be a little worse.
Yeah, how about some music from Magic Sam?
Okay, I'm just going to step out for a minute.
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, a young man who needs no introduction, internationally known from coast to coast, can sing all night long, they say, and it won't never get tired, huh? Your love is my love, easy, baby. Hey. You taught you my soul.
Wow.
How about a big round of applause for Magic Sam, huh? Yeah.
fidelity on that record really wasn't all that great. So in case you were like going to throw your radio at the window or something, why, you don't have to because, well, it wasn't anything typically wrong with your radio. What it was just like a, something wrong with the record.
Right.
Yeah. But, in fact, that was recorded back in 1963. This next thing I have is from Honest Tom Pompasello, recorded in 1981. Honest.
Meet me back. at the wishing well saloon. Quiet crowd, the music loud, the dreams I fill. I heard a voice in the low says, "Will you take?"
she opens up the door and lets me in. Never once did she say, what have you been to say?
Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Hungry?
Did you eat?
Yeah.
Let me hang up your coat. My baby can't you pass your head? But all the time she was smiling. Never once did she raise her voice. But 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just need to give it a thought. It's the daylight. It's the urban place. That girl at the moment. But here I am lost. I guess action speak loud from words.
Just long time ago, a second lieutenant named Spears returned to the States after staying overseas 3 years. His wife said, "Welcome home, dear. But since you've been gone, you see, we've been blessed with a darling baby, and a cute little one is he." She took the baby in her arms and said, "Benny is his name." He says, "I've been gone away 3 years, darling, can't you please explain? So I won't be so dumb. Tell me, where did little Benny come from?" And every time he asks, she says, "Benny's from heaven." His face got red, but still she repeatedly said, "Benny's from heaven." He says, "I've asked the neighbors that come around, but no one can seem to remember Benny coming down." Now about, he said, about a little thing like this, I ordinarily shouldn't bother. He said, "But mama, what little I know about children, I'm sure they gotta have fathers." And as I look at Benny, he said, "I can't blame him. Benny must be from heaven, 'cause he darn sure ain't for me."
Eddie Jefferson. It's from an album called The Main Man.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say yeah.
I always say yeah.
Benny's from heaven. And I don't think they're talking about those little pills.
No, I don't think so either.
He's talking about, we heard just before that, we heard from Lena Zavaroni and her version of Pennies from Heaven. And we heard from Eddie Jefferson, his Benny's from Heaven. One of my favorites. I think it's great. I just really do. I'm sorry. Let's see. And a bunch of others.
Should be.
No, I guess I don't really think I should be. But, Okay. Come now. Come on now. We heard from Black Slate from their LP Rasta Festival. We heard Thin Line, Between Love and Hate. We heard from Michael Franks from his new LP, Objects of Desire. We heard Ladies' Night. Here's a tune from Mike Nock, his new LP called Climbing. I don't exactly remember what we heard. And at the top there, right after Bunky and Spunky, I believe we heard from Susan Lynch from a new LP called Big Reward.
Yeah.
We heard Lover Boy. That's all here on The Voice of Long Island.
And we've got a lot more coming your way, too.
We certainly do. We got the tripods coming up, right?
We have a special guest. We have
different
kinds of music we'll be getting into in a little while.
Could you turn that, slow that down somewhat? Thank you. Whoops. Good.
Sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry. Okay, I can just bring this stuff up. But, okay, now, come now. We do have Frank Sinatra standing by. Oh, by the way, you are tuned to WUSB. Stony Brook. And enough with the crickets.
crickets.
I know, it's not a cricket, it's a frog.
What's this?
A parrot. I guess we should explain why I think that's a parrot.
Why do you think that's a parrot?
Okay, what do you call those little toys that you were playing with the other day?
Oh, yeah, those little wind-up boxes. We were in someone's house, and
in Tom Wheeler's house, and he has one of these things.
This cute little kid who runs around and plays with all these toys.
Dragging everybody with him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quite some strength, too. But one of the toys is that little thing that you pull, and it says that the pig goes, and it, you know, makes a pig noise. You know, other things like that. Well, we figured out a way that we could pull it and make it say, you know, here's a cow, and we do something to the string, and it makes a different sound, like a frog. That's really funny. We had the whole house gathered around this thing playing with it, and the kid wasn't even interested.
That's true.
All these grown-ups playing with this little toy. And we were trying to make all sorts of crazy sounds, like a turkey gobbling for you know,
yes,
a horse.
It was the highlight of the day.
Yeah, you have to try it, really, to understand.
Yeah, but you could pull it. It was really funny because we were with Ian, the kid, and you showed me this because this was a trick you learned when you were a kid.
Yeah,
and I was really 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 shocked when I heard you first do that. You made there was another one he had too that you made do strange. It was with the alphabet.
Oh yes,
it was
goat. J.
Right. It was supposed to say something like train, T, but it said train, O.
Great way to mess up a kid.
And really. And they're so impressionable at that age, too, you know. And you said, let's take it out and just nonchalantly play with it and see if they notice.
They noticed.
Oh, Tom noticed right away. It was real weird.
What are you people doing?
We had
kids' toys.
We had our fun.
Well, I still have a lot of fun with them.
I bet you do. You know, I want to bring up to the studio as a guest a speak and spell. You know, you can press the buttons and you make it spell and ask your words and play hangman with it and stuff. Do you ever play with one of them?
No, I never did. Do you have one?
No, I don't. A friend of mine's daughter does, and I was really impressed by that. Give me that thing. Give me that machine.
Steal it from me.
I did. I'm going to bring it up as a guest on the show one time.
You're going to bring a machine up as a guest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
on WUSB Stony Brook, of course, where it's 1 o'clock. And we got, the tripods coming up. We got all sorts of neat things. But how about some Frank Sinatra now?
Okay.
What do you say to that?
That's what I say.
All right.
Each one she passes goes when she walks she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes each one she passes goes ooh. But I watch her so sadly. Can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. tall and tan and young and lovely. The girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes I smile, but she doesn't see.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Bela menina que vem e que passa num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado parece um poema. É a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
But I watch her so sadly.
Ah, porque tudo é tão triste.
Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall, tan, young, lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes I smile, but she doesn't see.
Por causa do amor,
she just doesn't see.
Nem olha pra mim,
she never sees.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Gene Rugen, here to answer your questions about problems you might be having in society, your home, school, or anything else. We've opened up the phone lines, and we'll be answering your questions. You all know the number. I don't want to keep giving it out. We have our first caller. Hello. Is someone there?
Hi, Dr. Rugen.
Hi, how are you?
Is it Rugen or Rugen?
It's Rugen.
I'm sorry.
But I don't mind if people call me Rugen.
It's a very...
Because that would be a sign of some sort of a psychiatric imbalance if I minded people mispronouncing my name. There are cases. Let me tell you, there was a case of a person in San Francisco a few weeks ago. His name was Smythe, but everybody kept calling him Mr. Smith. And he didn't like the name Smith because that was a very common name, and he thought he was kind of an elite person. He didn't like that so much. So he got onto a roof and just sort of started throwing things at people. He didn't shoot people, but just started throwing tin cans, you know, instant soup cans, that kind of thing. He hit a few people, and he was he's now in a ward. But that's not what you call to talk about, is it?
In a ward as in a trophy?
No. No.
Oh. No, my question
is... A psychiatric
is, actually, I've been having some problems with my girlfriend. I wanted to go out skiing with her last week, but...
Well, that's what we're here for.
She just doesn't like the idea of water skiing in January.
Oh, no?
No, how... Is there any way I can get her to change her mind?
Well, you could just use brute force. It depends. What are your dimensions?
What do you mean, what are my dimensions?
I mean, are you a big person or a small person?
A medium build.
Medium build? Well, maybe it wouldn't work in that case. Besides that, that's frowned upon in psychiatric circles today. Have you tried reasoning with her?
Yes, I have.
I see. Did you show her how much fun water skiing can be? First of all, where are you calling from?
Stony Brook.
Stony Brook. So you have a nice harbor right here that I know lots of people water ski in.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, see... you go down to Great South Bay, and it's kind of frozen right now.
Then there's no problem with falling into the water.
That's true. You stay rather dry.
Well, frankly, to me, it sounds like your girlfriend is being very unreasonable, and it must be for a certain reason. Now, either there's someone else that has come into her life,
uh-oh,
or there might be a problem in your relationship that she isn't ready at this time to tell you about. Maybe you should seek some sort of psychiatric help.
I think she did.
The girl should want to go water skiing. I mean, it's a simple thing. When a guy asks a girl to go water skiing, 99% of the cases, girls are willing to oblige on that.
Don't understand why, because she was claiming that it was too cold or something.
Oh, no, that's a cover-up.
Don't believe that for a second. You think it is a deep-rooted feeling?
Undoubtedly. I've seen this kind of thing happen
it's
many times before. People have done.
I invited her to a barbecue I'm having next week, in fact. and she's not going to come to that. So you think it might be...
Oh, there you go. There's definitely a problem here.
I told her she had...
Are you serious? Are you serious about this girl?
About the barbecue or the girl?
The girl.
Oh, yes.
Well, then I would suggest if you really like this girl to do all you can to save the relationship.
Well, I mean...
See a psychiatrist tomorrow morning.
Before you hang up, this thing I'm having with the barbecue, though, I'm having a lot of people over, a lot of the high society, and I know she'd fit right in, and I figured, you know, well, I'm doing this for her halfway, too, but she doesn't like the cold for some reason. I told her, look, you know, make it like summertime, bring your own ants and yellow jackets. What's a barbecue without them?
See, when she says she doesn't like the cold, I fear that she's imposing you instead of the cold. When she says she doesn't like cold...
Well, like it could be the Cold War.
It's actually you she's referring to.
Oh.
And for some reason, you're cold to her.
I see.
Yes. Now, what you have to do is stop her image of you from being cold. Make yourself warm, maybe even hot again. You have to work at that. And really, the only... A marriage counselor could help, even though you're not married. They do extracurricular work sometimes.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Well, you know, listening to your program for as long as I have, I never figured I'd call you up. But 9 times out of 10, you always recommend counseling. Don't you think that's a big cop-out?
No, not necessarily.
Oh. Oh.
But if you have that kind of, reaction to the word counseling, you might need some additional counseling. We have a stack of calls, thank you for calling.
Thank
very
you
much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ruggan.
Okay, you all know our number. We have another call.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from Westport.
Westport, Connecticut.
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
What can I do for you?
I can hardly hear you. Could you speak up into the telephone a little bit louder?
I'm sorry, I don't yell.
Oh.
I've learned how to,
Is that a character defect?
No, it's actually one of my attributes, because I used to yell quite a bit, yell and scream, yell at the dog, yell at the house, yell at the wife, yell at the, you know, buses that go by and don't come. All sorts of things like that. But you learn not to yell when things don't quite go your way, because it's a childish way to express yourself. It doesn't solve anything, and it's really it's totally useless in most cases. I'm talking, okay? It's totally ridiculous type of a thing to do. Now, I hope you listen to that, because yelling doesn't do anything. It doesn't. It just makes people more apt to listen to you because you're intimidating them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, what's your problem?
Well, two things. First of all, that gentleman you just had on the air about his girl and skiing?
Yeah.
Well, you should have asked him if he had suggested going downhill skiing or cross country or on a slope instead of on the South Bay.
Well, I don't know if the climate is
Boy,
right
for
really
that. Blew it on that one, Dr. Ruggan.
Okay, that's enough of that. Now, we're going to go to another call. I'm Dr. Gene Ruggan here to answer your... The name is Ruggan, by the way. I'd appreciate it if people who call up at least have the common decency to pronounce my name right. Dr. Gene Ruggan, I'm here to help you with your problems, any kind of problems you might be having, problems with school, your family, your image of Outer Mongolia today, anything, TV, the radio, what's on the air these days, the skies, what's happening in the universe, your plants aren't growing. I can help you with anything. Okay, let's go to our next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Ruggan.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good.
I am a high school teacher. I'm an English teacher.
I was going to say you were a gym teacher, but I guess I was
Why
your second choice.
Why would you say that?
You have a gym teacher voice.
I once had a gym teacher whose voice sounded remarkably like mine.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Back in fourth grade, back in Port Jefferson.
Is that so?
Yes, sir. I forget his name offhand.
Well, what's your problem?
Oh,
besides forgetfulness.
I
son of a gun. I think I lost it. I'll call you back if I remember.
Right. You all know our number. Dr. Gene Rogan here to help you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is the woman from Westport, Connecticut that you hung up on before.
Yes. What can I do for you now?
I want to know why that man didn't invite me to his picnic. The one that I was referring to before.
Excuse me?
Well, he said it was a high society kind of thing. Well, gosh, I am from Westport.
Yes, you are from Westport.
Yes, I am. And how come he did not... How come he didn't invite me? I'd really like to know that.
It really is that important to you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Would you have me call back if he's still listening and tell me? Thank you. Goodbye.
I'm sure he'll do just that. Hello.
Hi. I remembered.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah. Well, being an English teacher, well, you know, these kids, you know, they have this tendency to cheat.
Yeah.
And I've got this woman, this girl, you know, she looks like a woman now. She is so voluptuous, I tell you. She sits in the third row right behind Jim. Oh, I guess I shouldn't have said his name. There goes a cloak of anonymity, I suppose. In any event, she has this tendency to cheat. And I'm not sure if this fellow, let's call him Jimmy, is unwitting or not. Or maybe he's in it for something else. But I just can't keep my eyes off of her and was wondering if you could give me some advice to deal with her, please.
All right, now what grade is this that you're teaching right now?
Well, this is the 11th grade.
11th grade, and how old is this person?
She's, gosh, about 16, 17 years old.
Uh-huh. It's important that I know approximately what area you're calling from, so I can deal with this a little bit more on a personal level.
Well, Sayville area.
Sayville area. High school.
Yeah.
Well, let me give this matter some thought. I might have to do some further investigation on it. I'll be getting back to you. Thank you for calling. You know our number. I'm here to help you, Dr. Gene Rogan. I can take a couple of more calls. I certainly hope you come up with some more interesting problems right now. I know there are a lot of problems here in the Long Island, Connecticut area, because I see them walking the streets every day. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guy, I'm calling from New York.
Yeah. New York City?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I got a problem here.
Okay. Besides being in New York, what's your problem?
it's an economical thing. Why I'm in New York, but...
You have enough money to call from New York, though, don't you?
That's true. I got a good antenna. I picked you up all the way in there.
Okay.
Well, it's a phobia or something with me. I don't know. I haven't...
Do you know what that means, sir? A lot of people throw around scientific terms without knowing what they mean.
Well, I think I do know what it means.
What's a phobia?
Well, it's a fear of something, but
okay.
I guess I'm using the word in the wrong context.
Well, go ahead with your stumbling explanation.
See, the place where I work,
uh-huh.
I get these telephone calls, and they are so harassing.
Yeah.
And it develops into a complex in me that after a while, I get these harassing telephone calls, and I end up bursting at the seams and throwing the phone.
Don't throw the phone. Pick the phone up. Hello, sir. Pick the phone up. Throwing phones is no solution. Now, I urge you to stop this immediately. You cannot throw the phone around. That solves nothing. Hello, sir. Sir, calm yourself down. All right. Now.
What do you suggest I do?
Hold your phone in both hands, securely. Don't drop it. Come on, fool.
Okay, I'm holding in both hands right now.
Now that, obviously, your hatred of telephones is symbolic of some other type of society ill that you have. You're obviously resentful against big corporations such as a telephone company. You're resentful of a link with the rest of humanity. You don't want to be linked with humanity. You want to break your telephone. I suggest you seek psychiatric help immediately, sir, before this problem mushrooms into something a lot more severe.
Oh.
Okay?
What a cop-out.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, can I help you?
Yes, I am a farmer. I live in Aquabog.
Okay.
And I have a farm out in Aquabog.
What's your problem, pal?
Well, I'm wondering, are you qualified to give me advice on farming at all?
To an extent, yes, to an extent. What?
Oh, okay, well then then it won't be a big waste at least. Boll weevils, what do you know about them?
Boll weevils?
Boll weevils.
Is that a kind of tractor?
No, it's a bug.
Oh, yes. The reason I mixed those up, well, you know, caterpillar tractors and all.
Yes, I see. Well, my crops are being destroyed by these varmints. What do you suggest I do?
Well, I look at it from the boll weevil's point of view. You're probably not much more of a help to him than he is to you. I suggest that you start learning to live together in cooperation.
But I don't think you understand the point. The point is I'm trying to grow these crops.
And the boll weevil is trying to survive, sir.
I spent many hundreds of dollars for the seed.
The boll weevil has been evolving for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. And your farm is totally screwing up his environment. Now, it's only natural for him to want to destroy it.
I do realize
that. You're going to have to try to understand how other creatures must survive in this world, too. And once you come to grips with that reality, then I can be in a position to help you. But not until then.
Dr. Rugen, please. I realize that the bug is fighting for his life. I realize this. I really do. But the point is, I spent many hundreds of dollars to have these seeds flown in from Colombia. You don't understand.
I'm sure the boll weevils went to a lot of trouble to nest on your farm, too.
Okay. Well, I got you on the line. Is there a call-in show on this from on the station for the cooperative extension? Maybe they can give me more concrete answers than saying these right to life of boll weevil people.
Okay. Well, keep listening to the radio station. We'll have more details on that. We have time for one more call. Hello.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Thank you very much. I'm calling from a hospital.
Okay.
I was involved in an automobile accident today.
Yeah.
I was driving my brother-in-law around town, and he says, we were involved in a conversation, and all of a sudden he said, stop! And I slammed on the brakes, and there was a Mack truck coming behind me, and it just, like, ran into the car, and I'm in traction right now because of it.
Well, tell me something, sir. Are you in the habit of doing whatever people say?
Well, I guess I must be because he says, stop! And I didn't realize he was telling me to stop talking for a second because he wanted to hear something on the radio. I thought he meant stop the car, that we were in danger. Boy, we were in danger, but I didn't know it.
Well, that's what comes from not interpreting situations that occur during your family life in the proper way. Now, this is, of course, an extreme case, but you have to learn when people are saying something to you to take it in context, to know exactly how they mean it.
Okay.
This goes from everything from a happy marriage to a relationship with the family dog to how to work your car.
Okay, well,
If somebody said jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you do it?
Probably not, because...
Okay, well, there you are.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I don't live anywhere near Brooklyn.
And besides that, it's very hard to park your car in the middle of a bridge.
Well,
unless you walk over there, and that's a real pain, too.
Well, you can walk across that bridge, can't you?
You can, but usually it's very windy.
I didn't call you up about bridges.
Well, let's talk about what the problem really is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not on speaking terms with him now. I wonder if you think I should get things back together with my brother-in-law. I mean, he is a dear guy.
Well, you're totally leaving somebody out of this. What about the Mack truck driver? How is your relationship with him or her in these days?
Well, I never actually did have a speaking relationship with him. I think it was him before this incident. So why should I expect one to continue when it doesn't even have any roots?
So destiny has brought two people together. Now, are you going to totally blow this chance by not even speaking to the person?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I hope you'd be a more mature character than that.
Yeah. But what about my brother?
Forget about your brother. Now, the relationship with the Mack truck driver is a new one. It's blossoming.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. This is our last call. Hello. Can I help you?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Mike Gerardo in tonight?
Okay. Enough of that. That's all we have time for tonight. I'm Dr. Gene Rugen. I've been here helping you with your problems, and I hope I've done a good job with that. And if not, well, it's too bad. You know, your problem probably rests with yourself. But go see a psychiatrist tomorrow, and things will work out for the better. At least on our end. Dr. Gene Rugen, good night, everybody.
Now let me digress before we tell you the rest and talk about triangles and other things that come into being. This is the story of love and hate in the third degree of unholy trinities and morbid geometry. Three triangles that all intertwine, triangular tales of historical crimes, the first from the past will influence the last. Triangle One's the son of a gun, the story of a slave institution, the kidnapped breaking the sweat and the death to pay for an industrial revolution. To Caribbean islands, conquistadors came, looking for gold to bring back from Spain. The British and Dutch, they wanted their due, the Danes and the French were in on it too. Within a few years, the oil was gone, Indians murdered, but Europe's hunger was long. So the plantation system became the way to get gold from those islands upon which they preyed. One third of Africa was taken away in colonial ships to Caribbean graves. They made sugar, tobacco, cotton, and rice, all kinds of products to fatten the white. Sugar to New England with fill kegs of rum. Plenty New Yorkers got rich on this run. Then rum bound for Africa pays for more slaves. This roughly put was the triangle slave trade. The genocidal triangle is what's happening now to the colonized, depressed, the black and the brown. This three-sided form was made in hell, where unemployment leads to crime and then a jail cell. The constantly impoverished are driven to crime. The victims are caught and their whole people does time. Unemployment, crime, prison. The genocidal triangle is meant to keep the rich in power while the oppressed strangle. Now our vision of the Trilateral Commission, with their mushroom-clouded plan for every boy, girl, woman, and man. Europe, America, and Japan are trying to do the best they can to control a world going out of their hands. To make a future where it's safe to invest, keep racking the dough and sewing their nets. So they formed in a gang they call a group of slicking their ties and polished jackets. With knives in their eyes and hands and a gun, they plan among themselves what to do with everyone. They talked and they wrote and they pushed and they smoked, tempers grew hot and arguments flew. Capitalist competition made quite a stew. At last from the overstuffed room their position. The crisis of democracy by Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. The trouble with democracy, these businessmen cry, is that demand is always more than supply. Whatever freedoms the people get, they're not satisfied, they want more yet. Democracy's great, but it makes governments weak, like all the times the people took to the streets. The black and the brown were the worst of the lot, wanting a place at the table and not in the pot. Social movements caused such dread, police programs formed, the leaders in bed. They killed them on podiums, they killed them on the stand, don't want oppressed people free in the land. Clearly they tell us it's not enough to go around, it's only the haves to whom freedom's bound. And the way to ensure this democracy stays is to keep the one-time task even unorganized groups in their place. Or to say in the words that they use, maintain a measure of apathy and non-involvement of certain individuals and groups. These black and brown people must be returned to passivity and defeatism, or we all will burn. So their triabolical scheme is pretty well laid. Forewarned, if forearmed, with resistance we're saved. With resistance we're saved.
Express written consent with the Three Village Tobacco. Find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. We left our friends Howard and Kathy and Boris last week. The statue for which they had been searching in the sewer system of Nice had just been broken, revealing no treasure inside. And as we join Howard and Kathy, they're hysterically laughing now.
Oh, it doesn't make sense, does it? How could we be laughing after all that's been happening to us?
I don't know, Kathy. what else can we do? We have risked our lives for a treasure that doesn't exist. And a statue that's broken into a million pieces.
And we're still risking our lives, Howard. After all, we haven't found a way out of these sewers yet.
That's right.
I do not think it is funny, my friend.
Oh, come on, Boris. Where's your sense of humor?
Just look at the facts. Don't you think they're a trifle bizarre?
Kind of out of the ordinary?
You could almost say they're totally ridiculous.
Oh, I can easily say that, Kathy. I mean, I could even say it's absurd.
Absurd? Kind of silly.
Dopey? Foolish?
Asinine?
Yeah.
That's a good word. I've always liked that word, asinine.
I do, too. It's so authoritative.
Yes.
But there's one we're leaving out entirely.
And what word is that?
Stupid.
Oh, yes. Oh, we certainly can't forget that one, can we?
I think stupid is the word that sums up this entire escapade. Now, here we've wasted a totally good vacation, worn ourselves to a frazzle, worried all of our friends and relatives to death while we've been waltzing around in sewers.
My friends, we must cease our babbling and start finding a way out of these here sewers.
That's what we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes, Boris.
Yes, and we've determined that there's no way to get out of here.
Yep. We resigned ourselves to the fact that we're going to spend the rest of our lives right here.
But surely you do not for one moment believe that you will actually spend the remainder of your days beneath these here streets. These.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, that door in front of us is locked tight. And behind us is nothing but corridors
Mr.
that
Tripod.
Go on forever.
Mr. Tripod.
I mean, if you want to go walking around in the dark and dingy place, searching for an exit that's just getting further and further into this cold and clammy pit, well, you can do just that, but as for me and Kathy...
Mr. Tripod!
What is it, Boris?
Don't you see that sign above your head, Mr. Tripod?
What? What sign? You mean that one? It says 14. I don't know what that means.
Mr. Tripod, the word sortie in French means exit.
Exit?
Yes.
You mean that's an exit sign that we've been standing under all this time?
Howard, why didn't you know that?
Oh, come on. Kathy, you don't expect me to know everything, do you?
Well, it wouldn't hurt, you know.
How come you don't know it? I mean, why is it always me?
Comrades, we must not bicker at this crucial stage. Let us depart from these here sewers. Straight away.
Okay. Come on, let's go.
Boy, I'll be glad to get out of this awful place.
Look, it's a wall we've come to.
We must go up this here ladder, my friends.
Ooh.
It probably goes up to a manhole or some such thing.
Oh, I'll certainly be glad to see the light of day again, that's for sure. I wonder if it is daytime outside.
That looks like a trap door above us.
Can you get a firm grip on it for us?
Yes, it is unlocked, and I am opening it now. Step up past it now.
All right, go ahead, Kathy. You're next.
You'll catch me if I fall, won't you, Howard?
Well, try not to fall, Kathy.
Don't worry.
Well, here we are.
Where?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Look, I see bars all around us, almost as if we were inside a cage.
And so, Howard, Kathy, and Boris finally managed to get out of the sewer system under the city of Nice, but apparently have stepped into even more trouble. You'll want to be with us next time when we'll hear Howard say,
"Hey, let's go back into the sewers."
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Thank you. I'm so lonely. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
What was that?
That was Randy Van Warmer. That was the better part of the Terraform LP.
A good part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
At 1:49 in the morning.
Yeah.
Some interesting things.
Before that, we heard from... What did we hear from? We heard the Tripod Family.
We heard the Tripod Family.
Before that, we heard a thing from the Tawny Spencer Group band. What was it? Was No Time to Lose. Before that, we heard from Tom Waits, I believe. We heard San Diego Serenade. And what's the other record in there now?
You're asking me?
Yes. You're in there now.
Okay,
you've taken control of the studio.
The Tawny Spencer band?
No, I just said that.
Just testing. Well, we only have three records over here.
What's the other one?
There is no other one. Hold on. Do you mean the Sedition Ensemble?
Yeah.
Regeneration Report?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one you played.
We heard a song called Digression on Triangles.
Right. Who's on vocals on that?
On vocals, we have Crystal Joy.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you got it. No, you don't. Not on that cut.
Oh, and you have to look at the little... Oh, I see.
Yeah.
There's an asterisk, there's a plus sign, there's an equal sign, there's a cent sign. Okay, on that one there's an equal sign. So equal sign means Robbie McCauley on vocal.
Right. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to go to something now that Mr. Bob Duffy did before earlier on today. He played a song that I really like to listen to one more time. You know?
Uh-huh.
Because it hit me as being a really interesting song.
Hit you smack between the eyes, huh?
Yeah. And it reminds me of another song, which I'm going to play right after this song. And, well, the new one is from a band called The Nails.
Ooh.
We just got an EP in from The Nails out of New York City. And I think that this song that we're about to hear sounds a lot like another... Well, in ideas, anyway. And just the way it's presented sounds a lot like another song.
Well, why don't you just play them both on The Voice
of...
Long
Island, and that will be followed by the news. So stay right where you are. Here are The Nails, and this is called 88 Lines About 44 Women.
Gloria, the blessed have. We were shattered by our tongue one night. Neely brought the taboo back and held it up for the light. Marilyn, who knew no shame, was never ever satisfied. Julie came and went so fast she didn't even say goodbye. Rhonda had a house in Venice, lived on brown rice and cocaine. Daddy had a house in Houston, shot cop syrup in her veins. Linda thought her life was empty, filled it up with alcohol. Catherine was much too pretty, she didn't do that shit at all. Not Catherine. Alright. Well, Pauline thought that love was simple, turn it on and turn it off. Marie was complicated like some pencil maker's plot. Gina was the perfect lady, always had her stocking straight. Jackie was a rich punk rocker, silver spoon, a paper plate. Sarah was this modern dancer, lean, pristine transparency. Janet wrote bad poetry in a crazy kind of urgency. Tanya and Turkish liked to fuck while wearing leather biker boots. Brenda's strange obsession was for certain vegetables and fruit. Are you receiving me? Rowena was an artist's daughter, the deeper image shook her up. His mother left her father, took his money and his truck. Debbie Ray had no such problems, perfect Norman Rockwell home. Rita, 16, had a baby, left her parents, lived alone. Bobby joined the Leeway band, changed her name to Bobby Socks. Ellie, who played guitar, sang songs about whales and cops. Jerry didn't give a shit, was just a nihilist. Ronnie wasn't much more my style, but she wrote songs just like this. Took the bill and 40 days, drinking nothing but Perrier. Diane drove her Chevrolet into the San Francisco Bay. Judy came from Ohio, she's a Scientologist. I'm a Rata, here's a kiss, I chose you to end this list.
Idiot lines about 44 women.
Genesis and Clue, he was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on 89. Kathy was 11 when she pulled me plug. 23 breaths and a bottle of wine. Bobby had leukemia, 14 years old. He lived at 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Up in Manhattan, flying Vietnam, bullet in the head by the old kid on Drano on the night that he was with. There were two more friends of mine, two more friends that died. From a hotel room, Bobby hung himself from a cell in the tombs. Judy jumped in front of a subway train. Eddie got split in the jugular vein. And Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. And I salute you, brother. We'll be right back.
it's dangerous, but it sure beats Rikers. But the next day, he got hauled by the very same biker. Fell from the roof on 829. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug on 26 red in a bottle of wine. Bobby had leukemia, 14 years old, and like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Up in Manhattan, flying Vietnam, took a bullet in the head by the old, you know, trainer on the night that he was wet. They were two of my friends of mine. I miss them. They died. From a hotel room, Bobby hung himself from his cell in the tunes. Judy turned in front of the subway train, and Eddie got split in the jugular vein. Eddie, I miss you more than all the others. This song is for you, my brother.
All the people who died,
Jim Carroll, from 1980, on USB, WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Yeah, People Who Died. Now, that came out in 1980, October, I believe, of 1980. It's getting a while back, and it seems so new still.
Sure.
And before that, we heard a new one, a brand new one. We just got into the station, an EP from a band called The Nails, out of New York City. 88 lines about 44 women, and that's on City Beat Music. What a great name for a record company, don't you think?
Yeah.
City Beat. Yeah.
Yeah, where the city never beats.
And I heard that on Bob Duffy's show this afternoon.
You did?
Yeah, and I thought it was really great, so I figured I'd play it again.
Yeah.
I mean, a good song deserves to be played over and over. In fact, let's play it again right now. All right, maybe we won't do it right now, but, you know, if you want to play it again sometime, we will.
Fine.
Okay. Speaking of Bob Duffy.
Oh.
He did something really kind of funny today.
He did?
Yeah. He was reading this story about it being Martin Luther King's birthday. And he made a little blunder in it. In fact, he made the same blunder twice. He was reading the story about how President Reagan was making a comment on it. And, well, he read President Reagan's comment somewhat like this, that he hoped that all Americans join together to further Martin Luther King's dream of racial prejudice. Now, I think that's kind of subconscious in a way. I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but it was just kind of funny. And then he corrected himself, but as he was correcting himself, he made the exact same mistake again. As if to underline it. And the thing is, I didn't hear it the first time. I was in my car listening, and I heard it the second time.
Huh.
I was listening the first time, but it went right by me.
Huh. Well, it's about 3 minutes past the hour of two. Time now for a look at the latest news from the Associated Press.
We won't make mistakes.
Snow and bitter cold continue to take parts of the nation by storm. Another wave of severe winter weather marched into the Midwest today from Canada. National Weather Service forecasters say the cold wave is expected to be at least as bad as the one that struck the country last weekend. There have been at least 218 weather-related deaths nationwide since Saturday. The Democratic Party Commission made several important changes today concerning future presidential campaigns. For one thing, Democrats will have a shorter presidential primary season, with New Hampshire and Iowa the exceptions. The commission also approved a rule throwing the next Democratic convention open, with virtually no restrictions on how delegates vote. The changes must still be approved by the party's national committee. A panel of experts meeting in Washington says special diets may help a small number of hyperactive children, but they add that the diet should be considered only one approach for treating hyperactivity. As for studies showing that food coloring, preservatives, and some naturally occurring chemicals may contribute to learning and behavior problems, the panel said those findings are inconclusive. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is getting ready to unveil its Oscar nominations next month for the 54th annual presentations in March. The Academy reports that only 178 feature-length films are eligible for awards this year. That's 11 fewer than last year, and 41 fewer than in 1979.
And here's the latest on the investigation into the crash of that Air Florida jet at midweek in Washington. One question, how long from de-icing to takeoff? Another, how much ice was on the wings? Both are important because ice may have caused the Boeing 737 to hit a bridge and fall into the Potomac. The chief investigator of the crash says up to 49 minutes may have passed between the jetliner's last de-icing and takeoff. Experts have said de-icing should be effective for at least 30 minutes. Investigators continue to caution that other things could have caused the crash. Today, divers brought up the bodies of seven men and one woman from the wreckage. That brings to 17 the number of bodies recovered. The search for 57 other bodies resumes tomorrow. In other news, Red Smith, the Pulitzer Prize-winning sports columnist for the New York Times, died today at the age of 76. After a brief illness, Smith won countless awards for his writings about sports figures and events. He was especially interested in horse racing, boxing, and the outdoors. And the government of Peru is disputing the claims of a group of prisoners that they've been staging a hunger strike since Christmas Day. The foreign inmates, including eight Americans, said they began their fast to protest prison conditions. But Peru's Justice Ministry says the prisoners aren't on a hunger strike and never have been. A U.S. Embassy spokesman says, without contrary proof, the embassy must assume that the prisoners are telling the truth.
Somewhat closer to home, the National Transportation Safety Board has launched an investigation into what caused a Pocono Airways turboprop commuter plane to falter when it was about 10 or 15 feet off the ground and then slam into the runway during a takeoff at Kennedy Airport. One of the 13 passengers aboard the twin-engine plane, 47-year-old Richard Appa of Harbor Creek, Pennsylvania, was hospitalized at Peninsula Hospital in Queens after yesterday's incident with minor back injuries. He is listed in stable condition today, according to a hospital spokesman. Pocono Airways officials say their plane was caught in the crosswind of a nearby 747 that was revving its engines. Pocono spokesman Dan Balish says there was a 747 going through an engine run-up, blowing directly across the takeoff path of our aircraft. It got into the air, and these tremendous crosswind forces slammed it into the ground, and the gear collapsed. But Safety Board spokesman Vernon Taylor says no cause had been determined. He said investigators would look into the airline's claim, but said there was also the possibility that blowing snow caused reduced visibility and led to the crash. The Pocono spokesman said the plane, piloted by Leon Bullock of Blakely, Pennsylvania, skidded to a halt on the runway. There was no fire. Balish said he did not know what airline owned the 747 in question. The accident happened shortly after 9 a.m. as the Pocono Airways plane was taking off for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport in Avoca, Pennsylvania, where the airlines is headquartered. Air traffic at Kennedy was not affected at all by the incident.
currently 6 degrees below zero on the Celsius scale. That's 21 on the Fahrenheit scale. Forecast for the USB Long Island listening area. It'll be mostly clear throughout the remainder of the night, clouding up by morning with a chance of some light snow tomorrow. Lows tonight will be in the teens, highs tomorrow in the 20s, dropping into the teens by evening. Clearing, windy, and bitterly cold tomorrow night. Actually, that's later on tonight and Saturday night. The low will be around 5 above. That's on the Fahrenheit scale. Yeah, on the Celsius scale, that's more like minus 15 or some crazy thing like that. Chance of precipitation is 50% tomorrow. And the outlook for Sunday, windy and bitterly cold. Highs only 10 above.
Well, that's
bitter cold.
Yes, that's the look at the latest news from the Associated Press and other sources that have gone unnamed.
Yeah.
What is it? It's about 8 minutes past two. You're tuned to WUSB.
Stony Brook.
And that means it's time for our 2 o'clock album side.
Which we present every week at about this time anyway. We're kind of close this week.
Yeah. Well, what is it this week, Eric? You're going to pick one out?
Yeah.
Did you, in fact, pick one out?
I've got a good one here.
What
I
it
really
is?
Do.
What it is?
This is a band that's rather obscure.
Good.
It's an import album, actually. Yeah, it's on Polydor Deluxe Records out of England. And it's a band called Sham 69.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, they're kind of... it's hard to describe them. Now, the way I heard about them was through something I was reading from a band called The Clash. They recommended them. Now, they're not known very, very much. Some of the things they say on the album are... Well, let's see. It's kind of hard to describe this. Another story still to be told. We could mention many names. We could start all over again. But would it be the same? No legend, my friends. Sham 69 was a name. I don't want to interpret that right now.
And when was that record released, by the way?
This record came out in 1979.
Ah.
Yeah, it's an oldie. On the back of the album, it says... Jim turned to face the rest of his weary warriors, then faced his own face by looking straight ahead. This was the final assault, no surrender. Just the way they arrived, Sham burst in and out. That's the way the story goes, folks, and it always will, said Jim, and smiled.
Well, that's deep.
The end.
Yeah.
Now, this record is, it's actually a two-record set. Now, there's an album, and then there's like an EP type of a thing, or long single.
So what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear side two of the album.
Uh-huh.
All right, now there are five songs, starting from the top, Hersham Boys, Lost on Highway 46, Voices, Questions and Answers, and What Have We Got? So, on the Voice of Long Island, Sham 69.
A piece of puzzle with one big missing clue in it, and it's gotta rot someone else. Six and seven flies in my haunted house. Mystery of dreams all around me. When I'm asleep, the silence is broken. Whispers of hell are so demanding. Frustrated moments on a Hollywood screen. Wearing a mask, do you know what I mean? Heartbeats talk louder than dreams. Once gone, but twice returned. A lot of motions overheard. Yes, I can hear your timid scene, but I'm alive. I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sham 69, side two of an album we somehow acquired here called The Adventures of Hersham Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we heard Hersham Boys, Lost on Highway 46, Voices, Questions and Answers, and What Have We Got? A band, I understand, that has influenced The Clash quite a bit, but we don't want to talk about that too much, do we?
Well, why not?
I don't know. Why?
Well, because you have a Clash tune queued up?
So I do.
Huh.
Well, would you like to hear it?
Sure. We'll be right back.
Bobby just threw up all over his best shirt.
That'll never come out. He might as well throw that shirt away.
I'm going to see if this new detergent I just bought will get that out. It's called All Temperature Gear, and it was on sale at the market today. They say it can do anything.
Never. That stain will never come out.
Well, let's see.
Later.
Wow!
Well, I'll be. I was wrong.
It got it all out. I'm going to use All Temperature Gear every minute of the day.
The next day? That's the 12th time Bobby threw up this morning. Aren't you worried?
Not anymore. I've got All Temperature Gear on my side.
All Temperature Gear. So good, it sells without a slogan.
Everything gonna be all right this morning. Oh, yeah. Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of five, my mother said I was gonna be the greatest man in life. But now I'm a man, way past 21. You got to believe me, woman. I have lots of fun. I'm a man. I spell him.
I said, is this mic work? You can't hear me? I don't know. I think maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, yeah? Check one, two. Check one, two. Hello? Hello? I don't think it works. There's something wrong with the sound. It doesn't sound right, you know?
Oh. Our theme song. You know, Eric, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am. What's up?
I got a phone number to dial myself. Hang on a second.
Okay. Hanging on is what we're doing at 2:55 in the morning.
Whoops.
I didn't recognize you.
Well, it's because it's on the telephone, you know?
What are you doing in there?
Well, what is that busy signal doing there?
I don't know. I can't get rid of it.
Sure you can.
No, I can get rid of you, but I can't get rid of it. See?
Yeah, I do see. I think I see. Well, hang on a minute.
Mike, you dropped the phone, Mike. Mike picked up the phone. Mike, what are you doing to that phone? Simultaneous ring.
It's funny what you can do when you don't have any time left.
That's true, but we don't have any time left. We have to be moving on.
Why don't we just move on?
Why don't we?
It's been a real pleasure and a privilege on my end.
Yeah, and you're Mike Uhassan.
You're Eric Corley.
So they tell me.
We should be back both again next week this time, unless one of us isn't here.
It's a possibility, but...
However remote.
However remote. But in any event, we'll bring you all sorts of other crazy and dangerous things. Like that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get another 10 inches of snow.
Who knows? It could be. Eric, it's been a lot of fun.
I think so.
See you next Friday night or Saturday morning.
Okay, have yourself a good Saturday morning
on WUSB Stony Brook.
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the local, no. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night, trying to stop or start a fight. I sit and watch the flashing lights, moving legs in footless tights. I go out on Friday night and I go home on Saturday morning. I go out on Friday night and I go home on Saturday morning. I like to venture into town. I like to get the few drinks down. The floor gets packed, the bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night, freed themselves from drunken stacks. Having fun and dancing in a circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday. But 2 o'clock has come again. It's
pressure.